Here at Paddy Power, we're the home of the Money Back Special, with some incredible offers every single week. Check out the website or app today. Terms and conditions apply. 18+ BeGambleAware.org.
Hi there. Thanks for joining us for the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. I'm Bruce Millington, and I'm delighted to be joined by Racing Post Shrewdies Paul Keighley and Graham Rodway to head to a fantastic weekend of racing. We've also got over in Ireland, Paddy Power, another of their young guns who looks like they should be on the X Factor or something, but is actually a racing trader, the super shrewd James Ryan. What have we got coming up? It's a great weekend. A horse running tomorrow who could even be as good as, dare we say it, Frankel. Pinatubo, really looking forward to see how he gets on in the Dewhurst. We've got the fiendishly difficult Cesarewitch, loads of other great racing, some good stuff in Ireland and Britain on Sunday, and we can find out who wins the year's free Racing Post Ultimate Members Club access in our competition last week, for which we had a fantastic response. We will tell you who's won that. First of all, though, I want to just quickly look back on the arc. I think we've all got over Enable getting beat, but it was a bitter blow for some of us. Not so much for you, Kills, because you backed Val guys, but what did you make of it? Did the winner win fair and square? There was a theory I heard, and it kind of seemed fairly plausible that maybe the strip of ground that Enable raced on on the rail didn't help. But what did you make of it?
I don't know. I mean, look, it looked like a fair run race to me. I mean, maybe Frankie went too soon. You know, I mean, but you know, they make these split second decisions. And at the end of the day, the best horse won. I mean, the ground was pretty soft. It was tacky. He stayed the trip really well. Wolfgeist. He's got tremendous form in France, as we know. I mean, you know. I think he's only lost twice in the last 2 years there. So, you know, I think he was a worthy winner on the day. And Enable had been brilliant, obviously. I mean, you know, to go so close to winning three arcs is incredible. She does not have that one superstar performance to her name on ratings that says she was a superstar. I thought she was going to win. I'd back Wolfgeist without Enable.
You were moaning about that, weren't you? I was moaning.
Funny enough, I was drunk at Ascot, and a mate of mine asked me to put 200 quid on without, and I deposited the money, and then obviously I went for another drink and forgot all about it. And I had to tell him that both the price and the money had gone by the morning.
How did that go?
Yeah, not very well, so he decided not to bother backing it. So.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah, rather.
More of that story. Never ask Kills to have a bet. Because his memory is, honestly, it's even worse than mine.
Yeah, it's probably nothing to do with the alcohol, to be honest. I mean, you know, if you ask me to do something, if I don't do it in 5 minutes, it's gone.
I know. G-Rod, what did you make of it?
Yeah, I thought she was outstayed on the ground, really. I thought it was pretty simple. I don't really think there was a lot more Frankie could do. If he'd held her up miles off the pace and everything had gone wrong, everyone would have slated him, wouldn't they? They'd have said, oh, he's got that ride wrong. You know, she's always ridden prominently. She's always able to hold a good place. You know, he had her in, what, fourth or fifth? After about four or five furlongs, I thought she's in position A1 here. If she's good enough, she'll go and win. He gave her every chance to go and win. She kicked on, but she just outstayed in the last few strides by Wildgeist, and it was a good performance by the winner. But, yeah, it was a shame to see her beaten, wasn't it? We all would have loved to have seen the history, but... Well, maybe we'll have to wait longer, won't we?
We will. It was boiling up to be one of the great occasions. I was there and it was just fantastic. The atmosphere all day was really good. And when she kicked on, the whole place was going absolutely bananas. And apart from Annie Power at Cheltenham, I can't think of a time where the atmosphere has just been switched off as if by the flick of a switch. It was very sad. But I'm sure the bookmakers were loving it, James, weren't they?
Yeah, no, it wasn't too bad. She wouldn't have been our worst result in the book, but it was... Obviously, Wildgeist was a pretty good winner for us down the bottom of the book, so it was we weren't complaining from a financial point of view, but obviously it was still would have been great for the game, and if she had done it, and obviously long run probably would have been better for us and more people involved in the game if she did win, so it was still a very disappointing day, I think, all told.
Excellent. Okay, well, before we look ahead to the seven races on ITV, Kills, can you just give us a quick overview of the weather this weekend? Because it's one of those weekends where we're not quite sure what the ground's going to be, and it's going to be fairly important for people's calculations. So you're a man who's known to get stuck into, as well as the form book, the weather apps. What are they telling you?
Yeah, I look all the time. It was funny, earlier in the week, it was all set to dry out, wasn't it? I mean, it had dried out from soft to good to soft at both Newmarket and York. It's already gone soft at York.
York's going to be quite dry, though, by looking at it.
York's going to be quite dry, but it's gone soft today because it's been raining all morning. But it's tomorrow in the south, it looks like it's going to be raining pretty much all day. So I'd imagine, especially by the time of the Dewhurst and the sets, it is going to be proper soft ground at the very best.
Mm. Okay, so bear that in mind. And obviously racingpost.com has all the up-to-date ground and weather conditions. Let's get stuck into our first race then. We've got four on ITV at Newmarket, starting with the 220. It's the Godolphin Flying Start Zetland Stakes, the best race for those stamina-laden two-year-olds. Over 10 furlongs. And James, how do Paddy Power bet on this?
Yep, Falcon Star is our 5-2 favourite, followed by Miss Yoda 11-4, Mythical 4-1, Tritonic 6-1, Max Vega 8-1, 16-1 bar.
Kiels, you can kick us off. How confident are you that this weekend's going to go well for you? You're going to tip plenty of winners, just
Not massively. I mean, it's an incredibly competitive and hard weekend, isn't it? You know, no doubt about it. And this is one of those tricky races where it's a complete guess up as far as the betting's concerned. All these horses that have had a couple of runs. Won their maidens, not done much more than that. And so, but the fact that the horse with the best form actually is the complete outsider of the lot. Actually, the best form on Racing Post ratings, on official ratings. Everyone's expecting all the others to improve past it. But this race doesn't, you know, it's rarely won by a superstar. I mean, it has been won by some good horses.
Kew Gardens
won it a couple of years ago. But you also find that if you look through the history of the race, it tends to be won by horses with a bit of experience, and it's going to be a proper slog tomorrow. So I'm going to take a chance on the rank outside. A subjectivist trained by Mark Johnston. He's been running over a mile, and all he's been doing is staying out at the end. He looks like he's going to stay forever. Mark Johnston's run some good horses in this. Hartnell won the Queen's Vars before going to Australia. DXB was second in it. Permanium was second or third in it. And subjectivist, he's a three parts brother to Sir Ron Priestley. Guaranteed to stay. And I just thought 25-1 was a bit of a big price because the way he runs, it looks like he'll improve, and the others already need to improve to catch him, and he's the outsider.
G-Rod, who do you like?
It's funny, you know, because I when I looked at the race, I sort of looked at it in exactly the same way that Kills did here, and I thought, well, yeah, this subjectivist looks like it's going to be a real tough nut to crack. You know, it's got the best form in the race, two best pieces of form on Racing Post ratings, and definitely will improve for the step up in trip. But then I went back and I looked at the race, and maybe I sort of convinced myself out of it or talked myself out of it a bit. But yeah, the last two runnings have gone to pretty, I know not superstars of Aidan O'Brien's, but pretty decent horses. You know, I mean, Kew Gardens and Norway, you know, I mean, they're both group winners. So obviously Kew Gardens being a group one winner. And yeah, I think they recorded 110 and 107 RPRs in order to win it. And I just wondered whether Subjectivist had the improvement in him to reach that sort of level, and I'm not convinced he is. So
they both have more runs than the O'Brien horse has in that race though this year.
Yeah, but although it is interesting, obviously having won it the last 2 years, that with decent times, he is bringing Mythical. But I'm not going to tip Mythical anyway. the one that I liked was Tritonic for Alan King, who was. He was on my tracker straight after he finished fourth, first time out. Haydock stayed on really well. It was really deep ground that day, and they also won. It was called Fred, and they ran a really good time. The race has worked out really well, and Tritonic came out and stayed on really strongly to win at Foss Last next time out, having looked beaten all ends up. And then he turned out last time at Newbury. It was quite a decent price for the Haynes, Hanson and Clark. And again, he just looked better and better the further he went, and he's by the sea, the moon. He's bred to handle plenty of cut, and I think that he'll improve significantly for the step up to a mile and two furlongs, and he could reach the level that's needed. But I wouldn't put you off Subjectivist each way either.
Okay, and who's your selection, James?
Yeah, I'm thinking sticking with the Godolphin, good two-year-old start to the year, or to the end of the year. I thought Vulcan Star looked very smart in his last outing in Goodwood. He fairly pulverised his opposition, was fairly eased down towards the finish, and it was still a pretty good time that day, even though he was eased down in comparison to Ardaria, James Franchise, good filly, who was carrying 6 pounds less later on in the card and rated 102, and obviously she's a three-year-old as well, so I thought that looked pretty good. And obviously the third, Oslo, who was beaten 7 lengths that day at Goodwood, has come out and won off 75, just giving a bit of substance to that novice form himself, albeit obviously it's a good bit lower than what this is, but I just thought he looked like a, you know, almost a potential star, and he's a lovely moving horse. Cost £1 million as a yearling. I just think he'd be very hard to beat.
Okay, one of my tracker horses is in this, Kills, Miss Yoda. I just thought it's probably a little bit too short based on just who connections are rather than.
Yeah, of course. I mean, that's the whole thing about this market though for this race. I mean, you know, one or two of them may be good enough, but you know, they're next season staying 3-year-olds, and whether they're actually tough enough to you know, because it's going to be a right slog tomorrow. That'd be my worry.
Okay, another test for the two-year-olds over a mile this time. It's the 255, it's the Dubai Autumn Stakes. A Group 3, James, give us a show.
Malatam is our 13-to-8 favourite, followed by Al Sahail, 3-to-1. Persia, 9-to-2. Military March, 6-to-1. Cherokee Trail, 13-to-2 and 14-to-1 bar.
G-Rod, lead on.
I thought it was between the two favourites, Malatam and Al Sahail. And I just thought last time at Doncaster, when Malatam beat that to Wichita, which is obviously the second favourite for the duo, has come out and won quite nicely since. I just felt that Malatam really... It was speed that won in the race that day. He sort of showed a good turn of foot, quickened up quite nicely, and then Wichita was coming back at him towards the line. And that was over 7. And now we're going up to a mile at Newmarket on testing ground. And I just thought that Malatam looked like the sort of horse who wanted to test the speed, not a test the stamina. As a consequence, I'm going to back Al Sahail instead. This one was third behind Positive and Kamiko. Last time, the form was fairly solid. Kamiko ran well next time out in group company. Was narrowly beaten the first two World Clear. I can't believe that bloody Royal Doorknob won that race. I tipped that horse the previous time it ran when it finished complete last at Champagne. It was such a frustrating result. But Al Sahail steps up to a mile and definitely bred to want to step up to a mile. I mean, by Jibawi, out of Scirocco Star. Scirocco Star stayed mile and a quarter, mile and a half. And the one thing that Scirocco Star did love was plenty of cut in the ground. So I think that Al Sahail will be really relish conditions and I think he'll improve the step up in trip.
James, do you agree with G-Rod?
No, I'm going to go for Malatam. I don't think the ground will be too much of an issue to him. He's by Knight Thunder out of a pivotal mare, and he's a fair old knee action on him when he does kind of get going. I like the way he settles in his races, so I think he can be able to kind of conserve energy there over the mile. I don't think there's a heap of pace in this race either, so I don't think they're going to go overly quick, and hopefully it'll turn into nearly a 7-furlong race if they do crawl. And I think he does have a bit of speed then to be able to pick up off that. But I think the ground could actually end up being a positive for him, even though he's only run on good firm ground so far this year. But I think it's between the front two and the marker, but I think Malatam will win it.
And Keels.
Yeah, I mean, look, lack of soft ground form always puts me off short price horses when they're running on it for the first time, whether he's got an action or not. He might like it, but he obviously does handle fast ground really well, Malatam. So I'd be taking it on and I'd be taking a chance. I mean, just because I think it's going to be horrible conditions there, and I don't want to bet short. So one that interests me, William Haggis's Johan. It was fourth on debut behind Military March, who's in the field as well, but has then come out. And okay, it's won a couple of Mickey Mouse races, but won very easily both times. Last time at Musselburgh on good to soft, seemed to handle it fine. And, you know, just brought along slowly and now pitched into a Group 3 and at a double-figure price, I thought I'd take a chance.
Okay, the most prestigious two-year-old race of the season is up next. It's the 3:30, the Darley Dewhurst Stakes over 7 furlongs, and Pinatubo, the most exciting two-year-old since Frankel, heads the market. Is he backable? James?
He's our 1-to-3 favourite, followed by Wichita at 4-to-1, Positive 10-to-1, Arizona 14s, Mystery Power 20s, Monarch of Egypt 25s and 50-to-1 the rest.
Now then, lads, before we analyse this from a betting perspective, I just want a quick line from each of you about how good you think Pinatubo is going to end up. If the four of us are lucky enough to still be here in 12 months' time, what will Pinatubo have achieved by then? James, you go first.
Like, at the moment, there's nothing to say that he won't kind of go on. I know people have talked about his size and that maybe he won't train on, but like, he's out of a Dalekhani mare. They tend to get better over time. He's just shown so much speed. He's absolutely pulverised everything that's been in his way so far. I think it'll be very hard not to say in 12 months' time that he won't be champion miler next year. I don't think he'll stay further than a mile. I can't see them running him over further than that next year anyway, but I think it'll be very hard to beat for the remainder of his career, provided he continues that progression.
Keels, do you see it that way as well? Could he get
He's
further?
He's going to be. I don't know whether he'll get further. Again, they might want to try him. They certainly won't go a mile and a half. He certainly won't be running in the Derby if he wins the Guineas. You know, you couldn't see that. But, you know, I mean, you know, there's some hope that he might get a little bit further, but whether they'll need to, whether they'll want to. I remember Frankel didn't go beyond a mile as a three-year-old. They waited another year.
Does he excite you, Kills?
He does excite me. Yeah, I mean, he has to. I mean, it is quite funny. You know, it's like in the Twitter sphere. As soon as the BHA rated him higher than Frankel as a two-year-old, loads of people moaning, how could this possibly be? But look at it. The comparisons are more than valid. I mean, you know, like Frankel, he has absolutely thrashed everything he's beaten as a two-year-old. Like Frankel, every race has worked out ridiculously well. He won the Vintage Stakes by 5 lengths. Second and the third won Group 3 races. Next time's out, the fifth bolted up in the listed race next time out. He won the National Stakes by 9 lengths.
And that was amazing, that performance, because two out, he cannot win that by 9 lengths. He just absolutely thundered clear.
And the third was beating a length in the Prix Jean-Luc Lagardère at Longchamp on Sunday. So the form is just working out exceptionally well. And he's as good as he looks. And right now, his form probably is a pound or two better than Frankel was as a two-year-old. Now, the only thing is he needs absolutely fierce improvement to go on to be as good as Frankel was. That's the point we need to make, because Frankel was an absolute exceptional horse at 3 and 4 and probably a good £15 better than Pinatubo is now. So he's got to do that again. That, you have to say, is doubtful. Only one horse has ever been that good. You know what I mean? So, but the point is, if he stays as he is, he's probably still got enough in hand to win the Guineas if all goes well.
And G-Rod, would you echo what the lads say there? Can you see any reason why next year should be a disappointment?
No, I mean,
us building it up too much in our heads, which we tend to do, don't we?
Well, we'll get excited, don't we? But nothing wrong with that, is there? That's what the game's all about. I mean, Kills has summed it up pretty well, really. I mean, he's an outstanding two-year-old, isn't he? The sky's the limit for him. It just really depends on how much improvement he makes from 2 to 3 as to how good he is going to go on and be. And we look forward to seeing what improvement he does make.
We certainly do. OK, let's look at the Dewhurst as a betting heat. And bearing in mind that there is, there's a double-digit field here, so we're going to get each-way value as well. So it might be that even if you just want to watch Pinatubo win and hope he absolutely waltzes home, there could be some each-way options against him. James, how are you going to approach this from a betting perspective?
Yeah, I think the each-way angle here would be fairly, fairly interesting. Also, I think the betting without market, when that appears probably later on this evening, will also be very interesting, because obviously there'll still be 8 runners and you'll be getting your each-way mark there. I'm looking at this just essentially horses that have gone on soft ground, and I'm going to willing to forgive Monarch of Egypt a bit for his last run, even though there probably wasn't too much come to light from that. But he's run on soft ground before and run well on it when second to Siskin at the Curragh, and at 25-1 on the each-way market, you know, you're getting 5-1 your place there. I think that's as good a bet as you're probably going to find in this race, in my angle anyway.
Okay, Kills, I love positive each way or without. I think he's too big. What do you reckon?
I'd say without, maybe, yeah. I mean, but Wichita put up a really good performance at Newmarket last time, and I thought I think he's definitely the right second favourite. He's probably as much ahead of positive on that as Pinatubo is ahead of him. So I can't really argue with the market. Not a race I'm going to get involved in. Just going to watch it, enjoy it.
Okay, and G-Rod, have you got an angle?
No, similar to Kills, really. You know, Pinatubo is probably going to win and barring an absolute massive upset. And I didn't really look far beyond it. I just thought we'd move on.
All right, just one quick one, G-Rod. 3s on Pinatubo. There are people now. It's a betting tax-free environment. There are people who like to lump on. Have you seen worse 3s on shots? Is the ground a worry for you?
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely been worse 3-1 on shots. I mean, considering he comes in here unbeaten in 5, and he's probably already achieved more than most recent Dewhurst winners had done. However, yeah, I mean, if it got really, really deep and really testing, then you would start to wonder about whether you wanted to part with your 300 to win one, wouldn't you? But apart from that, there's no obvious reason why he's going to lose, is there?
Okay, right. Hopefully the lads are full of betting angles in our next race, because it's the Emirates Cesarewitch at 410, 2 miles, 2 furlongs, one of the great flat handicaps. It's going to be absolutely fascinating. You've got Willie Mullins against Aidan O'Brien and Mark Johnson and Sir Mark Prescott. So it really is a clash of the jumps, stables and the flat stables. I can't wait for this. What's the latest betting, James?
Yeah, and we're 7 places here, Bruce, which currently is the best in the marketplace. So Build Me Up Buttercup is our 9-2 favourite, followed by Ranch Hand 7-1, Land of Oz 7-1, Timoshenko 8-1, Sneaky Getaway 12s, Great White Shark 12s, Great Tango 12s, he's been a bit of a mover today, Mr. Everest 14-1 and 16-1 bar.
Kills, you must have spent absolutely ages with your snout in the form book trying to suss the winner of the Cesarewitch.
Yeah, I have, and I backed 2 horses earlier this week. Both of them are much bigger price now than they were when I backed them.
Sometimes expecting them to be able to hear their hooves rattle.
Sometimes, not necessarily, no. It's just a case of, like, you know, I haven't gone with what's, you know, excited other people in the market.
Where are we now then?
We started at the front. Build Me Up Buttercup is favourite. You can understand that. She's run really well against a filly that went on and won a group race next time. So she's well in. I'm not 100% sure she wants really soft ground. She's obviously handled it in bumpers and that, but I'm not 100% sure she'd want it. I don't want to back any three-year-old because I just think it's going to be a brutal race and they're just not going to be mature enough. And so I'll be kicking out Land of Oz and Ranch Hand, although Ranch Hand definitely handles soft ground. Good winner of a good race at Haydock. And the other somewhat impressive thing, Timoshenko, I mean, he's got loads of ones next to his name, has never run on soft ground. So, you know, I think you have to look a bit further out. I was half interested in Willie Mullins' second string Great White Shark, but I came down on two at much bigger prices. First of all, Sipper's Creek, Aidan O'Brien. Now, O'Brien had a load of three-year-olds entered in the race, but he's decided just to go with Sipper's Creek, so Ryan Moore's on it, which is no bad thing. When he stepped up to 2 mile for the first time last year, he won a Group 3 at Nace, and then he was beaten only three lengths in the long distance cup at Ascot. Had a rating of 109, and he came back this spring and he was useless. He beat one horse in three starts, dropped to 103. He's actually run better on his last two starts. He was eighth in the Irish Ledger, went up £3 for that, and then second to Castano, the horse that had beaten Build Me Up Buttercup. Beaten a fair way, but in a sort of steadily run race, and I think he just stands out as an out and out stayer. He's a brother to Capri, who won a Ledger. He may have gone on the game, but his Racing Post ratings are back up towards what he was doing at the end of last year. So I think, you know, I think he was an interest, especially with seven places.
What price is he?
He's 20s with Paddy, and I think there's some bigger out there in the marketplace. And the other one I've backed is Dubawi 50. Now, he hasn't run particularly well last time. He was well beaten by Eddie Stone Rock at York last time when he was favourite. But his record in these really big handicaps is pretty good. He was fourth in the Says 2 years ago to Withhold. He was fourth in the Chester Cup last year. He was second in the Ascot Stakes last year. And he was beaten only ahead in the Northumberland Plate in June this year. So, and he's now a pound lower than for that. He deserves to win one of these races. He's never run on really soft ground, but the only two times he's run on good or soft, he won. Might just help him. He got a visor for the first time, which suggests the trainer thinks he's keeping a bit for himself, maybe. But I'll take a chance. He's a big price as well.
Excellent. Withhold, one of the all-time great postcast moments. G-Rod, who's your Cesarewitch fancy?
I was all over Land of Oz at the start of the week. When I saw that Sir Mark had declared him, I thought it was kind of a tip in itself, really, because I was at Glorious Goodwood when Timoshenko won the race where they run up the wrong way and go all around the houses. And straight after the race, Sir Mark Prescott was like, right, we're not running Timoshenko again. We're just going to go straight for the Cesarewitch now, which made me think, well, you know, this is Prescott. There ain't many better judges of horse than him. And, you know, if he thinks that this is his Cesarewitch horse from this stage, then that's good enough for me. And then on come Monday, you know, he's declaring Land of Oz. And then not only is he declaring Land of Oz, he's trying to convince his owners who's got another one in the race at the top of the rate to not run that one so that he could actually get Land of Oz into the race, which this was like, well, you know, if he really fancied Timoshenko and now he's desperate to get Land of Oz in, you know, he must think that this horse is absolutely thrown in. And obviously, it's a huge £10 weight for age allowance. Obviously, I take the point that Kills is making. It could get really, really testing, in which case the three-year-olds might be at a disadvantage against the old horses, but they are getting a huge weight for age allowance there, £10. But so the only downside, of course, is that come Thursday, we get the draw through and it's drawn like 30 of 31, you know. And the one thing I was thinking on Monday when I saw it was just like, oh, if this horse just gets drawn in 1 to 10, you know, this is max bet material, and it's drawn 30 of 31.
And Giro, the draw is a massive... You wouldn't think 2 mile to it would be that big a deal, but I think the stats bear it out, don't they? High draw's no good, is it?
Well, it doesn't make any sense, does it? I mean, it's a 2 mile, 2 furlong race where they've got a mile to the first bend, but yet, for some reason, it seems to be a real disadvantage to be drawn on the outside.
Yeah, I mean, didn't Frankie come all the way down the outside and never can tell a couple of years ago, though? I mean, it's not, you know, it's not insurmountable.
No, I mean, you know, and I'm not one of those who lives.
And we don't know where the best. We don't know where the best ground's going to be now, anyway, because it's going to be old ground, you know, not quite comparable to what we usually see at this time of year.
Mm. Yeah, I'm not one of those who lives and dies by the ground, anyway. Yeah, by the ground or the draw, to be honest. You know, I generally think that ability trumps most of those factors, and I think Land of Oz has got plenty of ability. And you know, he's a soft ground winner. He won in soft ground at Ayr. He don't get much more tested than when it gets soft up there. And he's by Australia, and I mean, Australia's progeny tend to like plenty of dig in the ground. So I don't see conditions being a huge issue for him. I think he stays forever. I'm just worried about the draw. But if he can overcome the draw, I think Land of Oz could be different class.
You're going to keep the faith.
I'm going to stick with him.
Okay, and James, who do you like?
Yeah, no, this is as most excited as I've been about a bet now in quite a long time. I'm going for Tony Martin's Mr. Everest here. I think he's a really, really interesting horse. We go back to the Irish November handicap last year, and he won it pretty snugly, beating some pretty decent horses in Eddystone Rock and Wonderlace, who've obviously come out and done really well. He's only £4 higher. He had a lovely comeback run there in Listowel over hurdles a couple of days ago, ridden really kindly, just let him come home in his own time, really, you know, kind of bumping into a couple of horses. And before that, he ran in the handicap at Galway, the big amateurs handicap race, and just had no run whatsoever and pretty much finished on the bridle that day. We only have to go back and look at Tony Martin's record in the race. In the last couple of years, he's had Golden Spear and Quick Jack, who have both run really well, pretty much been placed nearly every time they ran. So you can see that he could put him away and have him ready for the big day. In 2007, he won this with Leg Spinner. Now, interestingly, 30 days before the Cesaro, which is similar to what Mr. Everest ran that year, Leg Spinner was seventh in a handicap hurdle at Listowel. So you can see where Tony kind of likes getting a little run into them over hurdles to kind of set them up for this race. But I think off his mark of 86, he's now £10 better off a Great White Shark than he was that day. John Egan rode him to win the November handicap at Nace at the end of last year, and is obviously back up on him again. He's won on heavy ground, so he should stay. He's a hurdler. He's a six-year-old, so he's fairly hardened. He's run really well in two-mile handicaps at the end of last year as well. I just think he's as good a bet now as I think I've found in quite a while. I really like him. And I know the lads in the office do. Frank is very keen on him as well.
He is indeed, yeah. I know. I spoke to Frank Hickey. So if you're a regular Postcast listener, you'll obviously know Frank and David Jennings, and both of them really echo what James says. They like Mr. Everest. So, interesting stuff there. That is Newmarket all done. We've got three great races at York coming up next.
So, does an each way bet mean that my horse has to do part of the race in reverse?
Everyone loves a newbie. That's why Paddy Power Games are giving all new customers 60 free spins on daily jackpot games. New Paddy Power Games customers only. One per customer. T's and C's apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Welcome back. Let's look at the York races. Three of them on ITV. Starting with the 240, the coral.co.uk Rockingham Stakes over 6 furlongs. James, take it away with a show of prices.
Yeah, and Lampang is our 5-4 favourite, followed by Cobra Eye 6-1, Hooray's 6-1, Misty Grey 7-1, Stone Circle 10-1, 12-1 bar, and we're a money back as a free bet if your horse finishes second, third, and fourth. So if you want to take on the favourite, it's probably a good race to do so, and that's a max free bet of a tenner that you get back.
Lovely stuff. That is available on paddypower.com or the Racing Post app. Graham Rodway, who's going to win?
I think that
Sorry, can you slow down? I just can't keep up with you.
Oh, plodders.
I think that Lampang is far too short. I mean, he's one of these sort of time horses, isn't he? He ran an amazing time first time up. Was it Carlisle, I think, and then, he backed that up last time, but he was odds on to do so, and he won by 5 lengths from 150 to one outsider. So, with the main market rival beaten, it does make you wonder quite what he achieved that day. And don't get me wrong, he obviously is a promising horse, but 5-4, 6-4 in this sort of race, far too short for me. I was quite interested in Ventura Lightning for Richard Fahey because he's running at the Curragh behind Lope Fernandez. I thought was a really good run. He was quite slowly away, and then he made up good ground on what I thought was the wrong side of the track, really. Lope Fernandez was on the other side, and he stayed on really nicely towards the finish. Finished fifth, and there were some good types in that. Guildsman, I think, was second. And I think that's just about the best piece of form on offer here. Now, he comes in here off an absolutely rotten run last time out in France, and it was a maze on the feet, and he finished complete last. And there's no obvious excuse as to why. Just had a read of the Richard Fahey column, and he was saying he was very disappointed with him in France, but he didn't travel over very well. And he said Christophe Soumillon wasn't very complimentary about him. So what on earth he means by that, I've got no idea. He said, but I hope he can bounce back here. There seems to be legitimate excuses for that poor run. Maybe he didn't travel over well. Maybe he wasn't the best behaved or something like that. I don't know. But evidently, that wasn't his true form. If he can come back to that form he showed at the Curragh, there's no way he's going to be a double-figure price. So, Ventura Lightning each way for me.
Who for you, James?
Yeah, I'm going for Mr. Grey here. Just kind of a chancy at the 7-1 price. He's been, you know, running against some of the in the better 2-year-old races this year, and his last start he was finishing off really well against Lazuli, who's running today in the Cornwallis. So, you know, if he was to run well in that, this would be a more confident selection. And the third from that conditions race last time out's come out and won again since. So I just think it's pretty solid form. I think he'll run his race, you know, he'll run to a mark of nearly 100. Like in his last four starts, he's run to 197.97 on Racing Post ratings. So he should run his race, and I think if he runs that race, he'll be close enough there to the finish.
Kiels, you're going to take on the jolly as well?
And it's funny because Rodders made a great case for why the horse is underpriced, and you can certainly argue that way. But I think he'll win. I mean, it's just the way he did it at Carlo. It wasn't so much the finishing time; it was just the fact that he flopped out of the stalls and he ran really green, and he was just in the middle of the pack with loads of horses to pass, and you had no chance whatsoever to hit 100 in Betfair. And he suddenly just came through and won, almost like Pinatubo, like, you know, went straight through him and won, and then went away. I mean, okay, he didn't have to do much at Whippen last time, but it was good at soft ground, so he handled a bit of cut, and he won very easily. Afterwards, Tim Easterby said, this is as good a horse as we've trained in a long while, and they obviously think the world of it, and I'm prepared to row in with him. I think he'll win.
Okay, the 3.10 at York is the Smart Money's on Coral Handicap. It's over 1 mile, 2.5 for three-year-olds and upwards. James, how do Paddy Power bet on this?
Harrovian is our 5-2 favourite, followed by Johnny Dram at 7-2, Dark Vision 9-2, Cullough Forest 6-1, 7-1 bar.
And it's your go to go first, James.
Don't have an overly strong opinion this race. If I was to side at one, it would probably be Dark Vision. He's probably got one of these handicaps in him, but you know, he ran another blinder again last time out in the Cambridgeshire and just is really solid. I just think he could be competitive, but again, it wouldn't be a very strong opinion.
You got a strong opinion, Kiels?
Yeah, pretty strong opinion. Yeah, I mean, I don't think... I've backed Dark Division a load of times, but I've given up on him. I just don't think he actually wants to do it. And I'm a bit concerned about Harrovian. I know he won easily last time at Yarmouth. He's only had half a dozen starts. He's been tried in blinkers, cheek pieces and a visor. He got it done at Yarmouth last time, but he's up £4, better race, soft, you know, he's ground that he's never come close to encountering before, and he's favourite, and I think he'll chuck it in as well. The one I like is Johnny Drama, who, when he was training in Ireland, Connection said he definitely wanted soft ground. It was surprising that he ran so well at York two starts ago, when second to Forrester Dean, was it? I think, and, you know, really good run. He really seemed to be enjoying himself around there. Next time he ran on fast ground, I think it's one of those cases where you know, if a horse doesn't want fast ground, it handles it once and then resents it the next time. Didn't run any sort of race. I'd forgive him that. He's back at York, which he clearly liked, and he does like soft ground, and I think he'll win.
Which HBO series is Johnny Drama a character from?
Absolutely no idea.
G-Rod?
I've
not seen it.
No? No. It's not called Johnny Drama. That's the answer I'm trying to get. No. Do you know, James? Entourage.
Never heard of it.
That's really good.
Is it?
Yeah, Johnny Drama's a brilliant character.
Was it on Netflix?
Yes, I think it is, actually. Yeah, I think it is. Yeah, it's very good indeed. And G-Rod, who do you think is going to win the 3.15 at York?
I would absolutely love to be a fly on the wall at Kills' place if this Dark Vision wins, you know, because he's been punting this horse all year. And it's the one that
When you say Kills' place, you mean Ganley's, don't you? Oh,
I might be the comrade tomorrow.
All right, okay.
He's been punting this horse all year, and I could just see it coming up and winning tomorrow. And
you've officially given up on him now, haven't you?
Yeah.
So you don't care if he wins?
I'll care.
You will? You'll still sweat?
Yeah, of course I will, yeah. Oh, God, yeah.
Okay.
He's well handicapped.
Heard me when Kimman won on Saturday, especially as I backed the runner up each way at 28. Go on.
We go through Kills' hard luck stories while we're here. He's really well handicapped on his best form. And, you know, I thought it was a really good run last time out in the Cambridgeshire, finished sixth. Obviously, the ground is a bit of an unknown, but Mark Johnston is kind of my school of thinking on the ground. You know, he doesn't think it's the be all and end all. He tends to sort of run them on anything. And he has got form on good to soft ground, so there is a bit of form with a little bit of cut in the ground. And I'm happy to take a chance on him going through it well enough to win.
Okay. And will you text Kills afterwards if that is the case?
I bet I will, yeah. About 10 texts.
Right then, 3.50 at York. This is a tester. It's a Coral Sprint Trophy over 6 furlongs. Loads of runners, wide open. I hope the boys have been studying hard before they give us their selections. James, what's the latest betting?
Yeah, and we're 6 places as well here, Bruce. And Ablam is our 6-1 favourite, followed by Danzino 8-1, Hey Jonesy 8-1, Summergan 9-1, Gulliver 12s, Bernardo O'Reilly 12s, and 14-1 bar.
With six places, I'm perfectly prepared to back Summergand each way. Who are you going to back, Kills?
Summergand's another one of mine that I like, and I probably will back him. He's a tick tough horse. He just tries his heart out every time, and he deserves to win one. But I'm gonna row in again with Hey Jonesy, but not with Paddy Power, because they obviously agree with me, because he's half the price for them than he is with anybody else. But Hey Jonesy, I backed him for the Egg Old Cup last night. He's well, well supported, and he went off 10-1 in a much better race than this. And just didn't go right for him. He lost a front shoe, and he didn't take to a first-time visor. But he goes back to York off a £2 low mark. He's never run a bad race at York. He won his maiden there. He was third in the big sales race. There was a two-year-old. He was second in listed company, beating only a neck last year. And he was fifth in the Duke of York, which is a Group 2 sprint won by Invincible Army. So he's got really good form there. He's down at a mark of 101. And I think if he's going to come back, it'll be at this track.
G-Rod, who's your selection?
Really fancy one in this. I think there's a superb bet in it. Intisab, a real old favourite.
What's funny about that?
You know how many cliff horses I've got, don't you? Got to carry
another
on.
Another one of them, yeah. I mean, if you go back to watching and watch the Air Gold Cup 2 runs ago, you'll see all seen cheek pieces that absolutely flies, cutting through the field inside the final furlong, and it was Intisab. I know he only finished in midfield in the end, but you won't see Seals finish much better than he did that day. And it was a similar story last time at Wolverhampton, where he was powering home towards the finish, and he just shapes like a horse who's coming right back to his best form. He won this race in 2016, and he's now £6 lower than for his last victory at the Curragh last year. And I think that with plenty of cut in the ground, I know that most of his form's on good ground, but the way he finishes, he's a very strong stayer at the trip. But I think that it might slow them down on this speed track and bring him into play late on. I really fancy Intisab each way.
Excellent. What price is Intisab, James?
Intisab is 20 to 1.
20 to 1. Six places, G-Rod.
Lovely, yeah.
Getting stuck
that.
In, are you?
Yeah, a bit of that.
Who are you going to back, James?
Very similar points to Keels, going for Hey Jonesy here. Obviously, we're a little bit under what the rest of the market is at the moment. I think he's been crying out for soft ground for over a year now. And he has he had some decent enough runs during the summer to suggest that he's still in good form and willing to forgive the Air Gold Cup run last time. But yeah, I just think he could run well here at the track at York.
Excellent. We're all done with the TV action. Let's see what else the boys fancy, as well as the Newmarket and York undercards. They're racing at Chepstow. It's that great meeting that gets Jumps fans all excited. They're also over the sticks at Hexham. What else have we got? We've got Wolverhampton, and in Ireland we've got Fairy House, and we've got Limerick. So how many are in your roundup, Kills?
Yeah, got a few.
And then rattle through.
We'll go through. Right, 5:20 at Newmarket, giving another chance to Chilean, who was only midfield in the Hunt Cup when we last saw him, but he's won listed race on soft and a group race on every ground, and he'll really like it. And Martin Mead has a good record with the first time blinkers, I seem to remember. Did advertise running first time blinkers. Can't remember whether it was that or advisor or whatever, but yeah, that's good. But he won. But anyway, so I think he's worth a shot. He should be an outsider because it's a Group 3 race. Right, we'll go to Chepstow. For the Saturday, that's the rest of my Saturdays. High Sun in the 2:45, ran well in some and decent races last year until he got to Cheltenham and blew out altogether. His best form was probably at this track when he won really nicely, so give him a chance. 3:20, Cloth Cap. Serious contender for the Welsh National in future, I think. Was third to taking risks in the Scottish National and only his fourth chase start. One of these typical, John Joe O'Neill, start them off in big races really early in their chase career and do really well. And I think he's definitely one to keep on side. 4:30, Koo Lanley, trained by Fergal O'Brien in the Silver Trophy. He's just gone really well fresh in the past, and I don't think he's badly handicapped. He won first time out at this meeting in a bumper. He was favourite for the Persian War last year, fell early, then won a Grade 2 next time out. So the freshness is quite interesting. He was fifth in the Martin Pipe, £4 lower. In the 5:05, Charbel won the race last year. He's £3 higher, 1.57. Takes him doing winning a handicap.
He's still got it, Charbel.
He might have. He's come back. Comes back after a wind up, so he might have. If he hasn't, I shall have a little save on Valdez, 12 years old, but actually started running well again last year, and he looked like he was going to develop into a champion chase contender a few years ago, when it looked like he was going to absolutely hack up in a good handicap chase at this track on soft ground early in the season and fell second last or the last or whatever. So I'll take those two, and that's my Saturday roundup.
All excited to have Chepstow?
Oh, yeah, love it. Yeah. I mean, and it's really competitive because they've had the rain. I mean, sometimes the ground can be pretty quick, can't it, this time of year, but it's going to be virtually soft already.
G-Rod, who's in your roundup?
All at Chepstow and all different ones to Kiehl's. And some of them are some of his old favourites. Some of them are some of his old favourites as well. So, again, you want to be a fly in the wall if they win. The 245, I thought Louis Vac Pouch would run well for Henry Oliver. This one caught my eye. I think it was at the course at this meeting 2 years ago. Or I think it was 2 years ago or last year. I can't remember, but it was one of those. Stayed on really nicely over slightly further than this to finish sixth and went on to win next time at Aintree, I think. So I like this track, and dropping back down in trip, having been chasing, that doesn't worry me here, because I think that he takes quite a grip, Louis Vac Pouch, and I expect they'll have him held up off a better pace over 2 miles. Soft ground should bring his stamina into play, and he's nicely handicapped back over hurdles. The 320 at Chepstow, Colin Tizard will have had a few lined up for this meeting, and I'm convinced that Drinks Interval might be one of them. Was actually successful, I think, at the same fixture last year. Probably her best performance of the season came there. And you might remember her running quite an interesting race in the RSA Chase when she completely missed the break and then was rushed up on the outside and went a ridiculous pace and ended up setting it up for the likes of Top of the Game and Santini and the likes. Obviously, she's not in that sort of grade. But back into handicap company here, I think Jim Drinks Interval's got more to offer. The 4:30, Kiehl's will love me tipping this one because he loves this horse. Man of Plenty for Sophie Leach.
Don't even remember it.
She's never heard of it.
What are you on about?
No, go on.
Man of Plenty, yeah. No, this is one of my low lights of the season when I backed this horse quite heavily each way, a massive price at the Punchestown Festival. Put it on my tipping column and everything, and it ended up finishing really well to take third, only to be disqualified, rider weighed in light.
Oh.
You know, and I mean, how many times in your punting career do you get a winner where it gets thrown out for the rider weighing in light? I mean, that is an absolute 1,000-to-1 shot. But it happened to me there at Punchdown. But I mean, that was a really good run from Man of Plenty. He's got some solid form at Chepstow. He likes plenty of cut in the ground. I think Man of Plenty could run well. It's a massive price, around 40 or 50 to 1 at the moment. And then 505, another old favourite of ours, Do It For The Village. Loves soft ground, and they're due plenty of rain at Chepstow. I think it will be on the soft side there. And he's just well handicapped, and again, was one of his best performances came at the course last season. I think it was at the Welsh National meeting when he was impressive in winning a 2.5 mile handicap there. It's the same course and distance. So I think on soft ground, Do It For The Village has got a massive chance of 505 Chepstow.
Your eyes have lit up talking about that Chepstow meeting, G-Rod.
Love it. Love the jumps, yeah.
Pleased to have him back. Okay, James, what have you got for us?
Yeah, and just in that 4:30 there with the lads put up Killarney and Man of Plenty, we're also 5 places in that race. But I've gone to look stateside. So if you're in the pub or wherever you are, 10 o'clock, we have some good racing. There's the EP Taylor Stakes where there's a bit of European contingent gone over. Joseph Bryan's brought over Red Tea and Simon Christer's brought over Imperial Charm. I'd look for the American there, Holly Helena, each way back on a firm track. I think she'll run well. Desert Encounter is running in the Canadian International. Of course, he won that race last year. Pivion for the Balding team is also over there. However, the French horse, Zayad, is a very solid Group 1 former who won a Group 2 last time out, beating Nagano Gold, and was only a neck behind Carnet in the Grand Prix de Saint-Cloud. I think he'll be very hard to beat. And then the proper bet for the night is the 10:30 in Keeneland, the Queen Elizabeth II Stakes. Magnetic Charm of the Haggis team has gone over. But the French 1,000 guineas winner, Castle Lady, who went off 6-1 the Coronation Stakes, should be very hard to beat. I think they'll go forward with her. There's a Chad Brown filly that's kind of making the market at the moment, but I think she'll be very short. We're 2-1, but there's 9-2 out there with a different firm on Castle Lady. And I think she could go off 6-4 mark. I think she's very good. She'll be very hard to beat.
Lovely. Some Saturday night stateside tips. The first two are at Woodbine and the other one at Keeneland. Great stuff. Right, let's get the naps.
This will not be beaten.
Paul Keeley.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go Coolanley in the 4:30 at Chepstow.
G-Rod.
I fancy Intisar each way in the 3:50 at York.
And James.
Yeah, probably no guess here. The 410 Cesaro with Mr. Everest.
Come on, Mr. Everest. Right then, after the break, we will look at Sunday and we'll also find out who's won a year's free subscription to the Racing Post Ultimate members.
Check out Paddy's Rewards Club. Simply place 5 bets of £10 or more across any sport in a week and you'll get a free £10 bet then next week. T&Cs apply, 18+, begambleaware.org.
Welcome back to the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. Bruce Millington, Paul Keighley, Graham Rodway and Paddy Powers, James Ryan. Before we look ahead to Sunday's best bets, just want to reveal who won the postcast competition last week. We had a huge response. Many thanks to everyone who entered. The prize is a Members Club Ultimate Annual Subscription. And the winner is Helen Sheridan. Well done, Helen. To claim your prize, you just need to email competitions@racingpost.com and the team will get back to you. Well done, Helen. There'll be another chance to win on the postcast very soon. Right then, so on Sunday, what have we got? We've got the Curragh, where the big betting race will be the Irish Cesarewitch. We've also got some decent listed action there. In Britain, we've got Newton Abbott and Goodwood. Newton Abbott weather permitting, because I know they've got an inspection there Saturday morning. And back in Ireland, we've got a big race at Limerick. It's the Munster National, I think, isn't it, James?
It is indeed, and we have this priced up as well. So Black Scorpion is our 4-1 favourite. Internal Transfer 5-1. Snugsbury Benny 11-2. Cabaret Queen 7-1. Move at the Time 7-1. It's 9-1 bar, and we're also 5 places on that race as well.
And where is the value, James?
I think Cabaret Queen at the moment, though she's first reserve, but I think if she gets into this race, she's off 9-12. I think she'd have a really good chance. She was fairly shrewdly bought out of the Dan Skelton yard for 13 grand by Jack Cantillon and gone to Willie Mullins. First time out, ran really well, kind of was hacking around the back, kind of got her jumping ready towards the end of the race and really finished up well. But if she got in here down the bottom of the race, weights on heavy ground, it's going to be a real slog. I think I'd give her a real good chance.
I saw Jack in Paris, didn't mention that. It probably means she has got a great chance. Right then, Kills, what do you like on Sunday?
Looking at that Munster National, I just thought, you know, you've got a Gordon Elliott trained horse on a hat trick and there's a double figure price, the big lens, bred to 1-3 mile. So it's won his last two over 2.5. Think ought to go well, and it just looks a big price for me. One of about a million for JP McManus in the race. But back in Blighty, we've got Goodwood. And they race on heavy ground. It's going to rain all day, so it's going to be miserable. We might not be able to see very much, but hopefully Ptarmigan Ridge, who I was all set to lump on heavy ground at Haydock a couple of weeks ago, that's in the 340.
The owner.
I haven't, no. He did have really strong Haydock form when he hasn't got the same for Goodwood, but I think it's the ground that's most important to him, so I think he ran well. 525, chairman of the board, has dropped to a mark where he might be able to win off. He looked like a potential star when he first won. First time out as a two-year-old, that was on bad ground.
That was on bad ground at Goodwood.
Hasn't done very much since. Been gelded, had one run since. Didn't show that much, but didn't run that bad even though he was last. So maybe bottomless ground is what he needs. And over at Newton Abbott, where the ground is already soft as well, Durasha Counter loves soft ground. Emma Lavelle's got her horses in very, very good form. And he was pretty progressive last year. Probably got a bit more to come.
G-Rod, what are your Sunday fancies?
Yeah, just a couple. I just caught my eye that Posh Trish is running over fences. First time out, 2:55 at Newton Abbott Intermediate Chase.
She's running against Reserve Tank tomorrow, though. She's in two races.
Oh, is she really? That didn't catch my eye.
I think she is.
Obviously. But I'm excited to see her.
Wherever she runs.
Wherever she goes.
That's right. I'm just going to check that's right.
Yeah, wherever she runs, she's an interesting horse. I mean, she loves soft ground, so the testing conditions won't be a problem. And I thought she looked like a chaser in the making all last season for Paul Nicholls. And she's an exciting type. The best bet of the day on Sunday, I thought, was Downforce in the 3:15 at Curragh. It's a 7-year-old who's been out of form, but last time out, over the course and distance on soft ground, so very similar conditions, really put it up to Speaking Colours, who was a hot favourite that day. And Speaking Colours ran very, very well last week when third behind One Master in the pre-foray, and that was Group 1 company. This is a listed race. So if Downforce can repeat that form back in this lower grade, I think that Downforce has got a massive chance in the 3:15 Curragh.
James, anything else you want to mention?
Yeah, just the Irish Cesarewitch, which is on at 4:25. It's a really competitive heat and we're 5 places on it. like to go down to the very bottom. And Noel Mead trained Red Jerry, been really consistent all year, and was fairly eye-catching last time out, finishing a fast finishing second in Listowel over a mile four. So I think just the step up and trip could do him well. And in the last race, we have our own little horse running, Pulse of Shanghai. Dad trained him to win over five furlongs in Down Royal last time out, and since gone down to Paddy Toomey's, we think he could nearly have a stone in hand. So I think he could run really well in the 30 runner handicap.
Oh, what's he called again?
Pulse of Shanghai.
Brilliant. Good luck. So that will be your weekend built around that, I guess, James, will it? Or have they got you down working?
No, I'll be down there. I wouldn't miss that now on Sunday.
Working Saturday?
No, going on a second date on Saturday, going to a thing called escape rooms. So we'll see how the team bonding gets in. You get locked in a room and you have to try escape. So we'll see how that goes.
What do you mean? How do you try and escape? Is it like the crystal maze or something? Or do you just have to just smash against the wall and try and get your way out?
I think it's all like little puzzles or something you have to solve, and then you find a key and open up a door and go into another room and et cetera, et cetera. But we'll see how that goes anyway.
How did the first date go?
It was grand.
Yeah, he's got a second one, but I mean, did you par it or birdie or... It was all right, was it?
No, yeah, it was a good solid par, I'd say.
Excellent. Keels, what does the weekend hold for you?
I'll be going watching a race in somewhere where I can be served an alcoholic beverage tomorrow. And a very quiet Sunday. Just as Chepstow tweeted, they've had 22 mil of rain since 6 p.m. yesterday with another 15 mil forecast today. So it's going to be very soft there.
Yeah, we just want to make sure it's on, don't we?
That's there's no chance. No chance of it not being on.
But it'll be very testing.
But it'll be testing. It won't be Welsh National Weather Ground testing, but it'll be testing all right.
You'll need to get home. G Rod, what are you going to be doing over the weekend?
I've got quite a busy weekend. Live tipster on Saturday. So, race day live at racingpost.com if you've got any questions, which I'm sure there'll be plenty. And Sunday, it's my eldest's fifth birthday. So, we're having a big party, big family party. We've even got my in laws flying over from Canada. Not specifically for the party, but it's the first day of their visit. So I'll be making the trip down, no doubt, to Gatwick on Sunday morning, and then bringing them back up to Chelmsford. And then we're going to have some sort of huge party. So I expect come Monday, I'll be absolutely exhausted.
Excellent. Well, good luck. I hope it all goes well. The weather's not going to be great. You haven't got a bouncy castle involved, have you?
No, that's a bit of a downside of having a winter birthday, isn't it? You know, I've got one as well. And, you know, you can't really have those great...
I don't want my kids... I hate bouncy castles. I get massively jittery.
You're not one of those people who think they're going to fly away, are you?
No, not that. But I just see all these little skulls bouncing around and just bashing into... It just, honestly, it absolutely terrifies me just watching it. It's awful. Well, anyway, good luck, guys. Good luck with your tips and good luck with your bets. Hopefully the lads have put you on to a few winners. And don't forget, if you enjoy the shows, please make sure you rate, review and subscribe wherever you're listening. And tell us your best bets on our YouTube page as well. Maddie's back on Monday to review the action. We've got golf on Wednesday, football on Thursday. And then next Friday, we are back looking ahead to one of the great occasions in the racing calendar. It's British Champions Day.
I'm Jose Mourinho. I know a thing or two about being special. English Manager of the Year 3 times, special. Winning the Daily Jackpot on Paddy Power Games, not special.
Understood, Jose. Yes, someone wins an average £40,000 jackpot every single day. So if you win, don't think you're special. Daily Jackpots by Paddy Power Games. Jackpots must be awarded by 11 p.m. and vary from day to day. Jackpot is shared with other operators, available on selected games. T's and C's at paddypower.com. 18+ bgambleaware.org.